Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome you on tonight. Thank each and every one of you for taking the time to tune in to tonight's show. I've missed you all. It's been a couple of weeks. I was traveling and out of the country and just one thing after another. So we were doing a lot of recorded shows that were pre-recorded. But tonight I am live and I am kicking. Glory to God. And I'm excited about what the Lord is going to share on tonight. Tonight's subject matter is one that we all deal with, we struggled with, we've been delivered from. One of the things that popped up in my mind is that a lot of us have experienced, and I don't know about all of you, I know I am someone who have experienced. Have you ever experienced a lie that maybe you told in your youth, maybe you told in your young adulthood, or maybe you even told recently, and you've lived with that lie for so long that that lie became your truth, and you even began to believe that lie? You've embraced it as truth. You believed it, and it's, and to you it's true, but it's a lie. And you've held on to it for years, and even today, even though it was something from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you find that even today you're scared to come to terms with that truth, the truth of that lie. You're scared to even make mention of it because you're not sure how the truth will turn out. You don't know if the truth will change your life. You don't know if the truth will change the lives of others. So we've had a tendency to just hold on to that lie or to those lies. Some of us have multiple lies that we've lived with most of our lives. And so tonight, so based on that, tonight's show is titled Lying with a Lie. And I found that interesting that the Holy Spirit would give me that title, Lying with a Lie, because when I began to try to do my research and just find some basic definitions for the term lie, we always use that term lie, and lie is, we always use it and spell it as L-I-E. Well, I found it very interesting that as I began to try to find definitions for the word lie, L-I-E, nothing about deception, nothing about not telling the truth even came up. And I used Webster and I used a couple of other dictionaries. But for Webster, that term lie, L-I-E, it spoke about positioning, horizontal position. It spoke about intercourse. It spoke about to remain inactive, to lie, to wait, to be in a helpless or defenseless state, to occupy a certain relative place or position. All of it had to do with position and so forth. And so I thought that was very interesting that we use this word, and this word has become a part of our dialogue. You know, we easily tell somebody, you lie. You know, you lied, and it's not even the term. But then I also found that the term lying, L-Y-I-N-G, went in to express more what we're speaking of tonight. And so we are speaking about that thing tonight, and this is not a show of condemnation. This is not a show where you have to feel guilty. This is a show to help us hopefully understand that lie has held us hostage long enough. And whether you do a public confession of that lie to come to the truth, or whether you do a confession within your own heart to come to the truth of that lie, however, whichever way you decide to do it that's best for you, I am encouraging you and challenging you to do it. Deal with that lie. Look it dead in the face. Accept that it is what it is. And begin to allow that lie to release you, because you've been in hostage to that lie. I'm going to take some time, because I always like to deal with some statistics and some facts. So I was doing the studying for tonight, and I came across an article that was written by Gina Roberts Gray, and Next Avenue contributor. And I'm just going to read a small portion of this. Hopefully you won't get bored, but you'll really listen to it, because it's going to be important for where we're going to go on tonight. It's going to be important for you to realize that thing that you've been holding on to, that lie that you've been laying with, that lie that you've been embracing, that lie that has become your truth, even though you feel safe, even though you haven't talked about it in years, even though nobody knows, guess what? You know, and believe it or not, that lie has taken a burden on your body. So this article is talking about how our secrets really begin to take a toll on our bodies. And it states in the article, whether it is racy acts from college days, a child's confession that you promised not to share with your spouse, or the revelation of your best friend's affair, by midlife, you're probably carrying around a number of secrets. But whether you realize it or not, they're getting heavier all the time, especially the juicy ones, and they could be threatening your health. Neuroscientists now believe it's biologically better for us to confess our secrets, or better, just to refuse to be a party to someone else's. The reason, holding on to them puts the brain in an awkward, compromised position. The cingulate cortex, essential to our emotional responses, is wired to tell the truth. This logical lobe signals other regions of the brain to share information so it can move on to more important functions, like learning. But when you keep a secret locked inside, you don't allow the cingulate to perform its natural function. Instead, the cortex becomes stressed. The moral of this is, the truth is, lying makes you sick. And I found that so interesting. And if anyone wants to get this article, touch bases with me after the show, because I just thought that was so interesting that we go through life and we make choices and we do things and we really don't think it affects. You know, we think by us keeping a secret or keeping a lie that we're keeping peace, that we're staying in a safe place. But the reality of it is that now we're beginning to, by keeping these secrets, we're beginning to change the dynamics of what naturally should be, especially as it pertains to how we think and how we process things. I want to go in further, and I just want to read that up front because I want to tell you we're on to something here. This is not something that I just decided, oh, I want to talk about lies because I want to see how many people are lying. This is something that was given to me to bring up as a subject matter because I know that there are many people who deal with this. There are many people who deal with lies, and lies, again, could go as petty as, oh, when I was 7 years old, I stuck my finger in the cake and my brother got a spanking for it. Now I'm telling the truth at 53. Yes, I stuck my finger in the cake and my brother had to take the consequences of me sticking my finger in the cake. And then it could go as deep as, for some, you know, it could be as deep as living your whole life believing someone is your father only to find out that it's not your father, you know, or only to find out that it's not your brother or whatever the case may be. So we know that that lies could just go from one extreme to the next. And so whatever that lie is that you've been living with, whatever that lie is that you know is a lie, but somehow you have dressed it up and it became your truth and you've accepted it, whatever that thing is, only you and God know. So hopefully on tonight's show, it will make you to begin to think about that thing. And if you put it in the back of your mind and you totally forgot about it, hopefully tonight's show will provoke it, not to provoke pain, but to begin the process of healing so that you can no longer be hostage to this lie or lies that are keeping you, keeping you heavy, that's affecting your health, that's affecting how we process things. So I wanted to go into, even from a spiritual standpoint, because I read through the Word of God, and I could tell you story after story after story after story where people in the Bible lied. And in some cases, it wasn't a great outcome. It wasn't a good outcome, and it was defiling. But then I could think of several stories where the person lied, the man or woman of God was deceptive or used deception, and it was a great outcome. And so that made me start thinking, well, is there some permissible lies, or are there lies that's not permissible? How do we determine, is lying okay? Is it ever okay, ever morally right to lie? And so now we have to start asking ourselves, wow, okay, what's a good lie, not a good lie? One of the lies that came to mind was in Genesis, the chapter 12, when it speaks about Abram and Sarai in Egypt. And they were going to Egypt, and Abraham knew how the Egyptians were, and Sarai was a beautiful woman. And he didn't want to get killed. He didn't want them to find out that he was her husband, and then they killed him off just to get her. So he had her pretend like she was his sister. And he did that because for a couple of reasons. One, to protect himself, because he didn't want to die. And I'm sure, I mean, that's the selfish part of it, but I'm sure maybe he also did it to protect her. The end result of it is that the consequences fell heavily on Pharaoh, because he took her in to become his wife. And then all of a sudden his whole household was plagued with sickness and disease, and he didn't understand why. And then it was revealed to him that this woman that he took in to be his wife was literally already somebody else's wife. End result of that lie that Abram and Sarai told, they were forced to leave Egypt, but they left Egypt with riches. They left Egypt with cattle and camel and treasures. So he left Egypt a whole lot more well off than when he went into Egypt. So when you think about something like that, then you say, well, maybe there are certain lies that you could tell. So we could go to that where it was a great outcome, but then we could flip over and look at the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that was a married couple who sold a piece of property, and they sold the property. They made a decision to give, but they lied. They were deceptive. And as a result of their deception, they both ended up dying. So you could see it was one extreme, you know, both lies. But one lie seemed that it turned out for the good, and the other lie turned out even unto death. So I think there is some controversy among theologians as far as what's considered, you know, an acceptable lie, a permissible lie, and what's not. Some say, no, there's never a reason to lie. There's scriptures throughout the Bible that tell us, you know, that definitely speaks against lying. It speaks against you know, why we shouldn't lie, and that God does not like lies, and so forth and so on. But then there's, you see these stories in the Bible where even with Rahab, and if you don't know anything about Rahab was a prostitute that was protecting the gentleman. And so she had to be deceptive in order to save their lives. Well, is that an acceptable lie? Because these were men of God and she was protecting them. So would that have been an acceptable lie because it was protecting their lives? You know, we don't know. And and we could go on and on and on with what's acceptable and what's not acceptable as it pertains to lying. And I don't. Coach D doesn't really have an answer to give you in reference to what's acceptable or not acceptable lies. But what I will say to you is that you have to be in tune with your spirit. You have to read the word for yourself. You have to deal with your untruths. And so if you have untruths, why do you have this untruth? What is the benefit of the untruth? You know, why would it be damaging for somebody to know that truth? And I mean, there are some truths that could be very damaging. And so you have to come to a place within your own conviction to know when that truth, you know, it says the truth, you know, it says the truth should set you free. So if this be the case that the truth should set you free, at what point is a truth that can't be told? So you have to come to the conclusion of that. Is that a truth that could be told? Is this truth hindering you? Is it keeping you hostage? Because most people don't tell the truth, again, for various reasons. I believe the self-lies that we keep into ourselves, oftentimes we don't want to tell people because we don't want to deal with the shame of it. We may not want to deal with the pain of that truth. We may be embarrassed of that truth. A lot of times I was speaking with a young lady today, and I was speaking about the subject matter. And she had made mention that she had lived with a lie for the last 10 or 15 years. And it was, the lie didn't mean anything to anybody else. I mean, who cares when she stopped being a virgin? But for her psyche, that lie was important to her. And it was as simple as, I lost my virginity at 19 versus 20. She would tell her story was, and her truth became that I lost my virginity at 20, when the reality was that she lost it at 19. Now, those of us listening is probably like, what's the big deal? I mean, 19 or 20, who cares? You know, so what? But for her, as she recalls when that lie came about, for her, it was important. It was important that she, in her mind, that she kept her virginity through her teen years. And so the difference between 19 and 20, as you see now, for her was major. And she, because she had already made a commitment to herself that she would not lose her virginity during her teen years. So that became her lie. And that lie became her truth, that she didn't lose her virginity until she was 20 years old, when in fact that was not the case. And many of us have those kind of lies. I could even speak and be very transparent. I have a lie like that, you know, that I lived, and the reason why that my lie became my truth was because of the shame, because of the embarrassment, because I didn't want anyone to know that I would have made that kind of decision. And so I held on to this thing, and I told this story. I told this lie over and over for the last 30-something years. And I've told it so much, and I embraced it so much, that if I would have went to do a lie detector test, I would have passed with flying colors. You know why? Because psychologically, I have rehearsed this story so many times that became my truth. And I could tell you the story over and over. I could tell you the story backwards, forward, sideways, and the story would have remained the same because I had rehearsed the story for years. And it had became my truth. It had became a comfortable place for me. And it was not until I was 50 years old that I finally came to terms with the truth of that story. And once I came to terms with the truth of that story, and I began to be able to acknowledge that it was a lie and that it was not the truth, guess what? It didn't even matter. So I had been holding on to something that had been dealing with me, probably with my health physically, according to this article, and it didn't even matter. At 50 years old, it didn't matter. At 40 years old, it didn't matter. At 30 years old, it didn't matter. But somehow, at 15 and at 20, that story mattered. And me protecting that lie was important for me, because somehow I believed that that truth would define who I was, and it really didn't. And so how many of us, as we listen to tonight, and there's nothing deep, I don't have this whole deep thing to give to you on tonight, but what I am sharing with you on tonight is that it's so many people that's living a lie, that has laid with this lie, that has embraced this lie, and they've accepted his lie, and they don't want nobody to know that truth. But guess what? You know the truth. And because you know the truth, is damaging to you, because you have to continue to perpetuate this lie. And so my hope is tonight that, because this subject has been brought out in the open, my hope tonight for you is that you come to terms with this thing, that you accept the fact that some of us made choices at a very young age, and it wasn't a good choice. That's why we lied about it. And so just let go of the little girl or let go of the little boy that made these choices, or the teenager, the adolescent that made these choices. Let it go and recognize that there was a choice of immaturity, and that now that you're mature, it doesn't matter no more. You don't have to hold on to that lie anymore. You can move forward in life. And why do we know that we can move forward? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If you're listening in to the program tonight and you're a believer, you're a Christian, how long have you been a believer? How long have you been walking as a Christian? Because you've probably been walking as a Christian for longer, probably just as long as the lie is. And so you're a new creature. You know, you're a new creature. You know, whatever that thing was in the past is old. And yes, some might be saying, well, you know what? If I'm a new creation in Christ, then guess what? I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to deal with that lie. I can just keep it up under the carpet. Well, maybe you can. But based on what we just found out tonight, that it plays a very important part with our physical, if that be the case, then you would want to get rid of it. You would want to open it up, deal with it, and let it go, knowing that it has no more effect on you. There's nothing more to hide. There's nothing, no more secrets to keep. You can let it go. You can move forward in your new life, and you don't have to worry about it. And furthermore, you don't have to worry about how is it affecting. How is this secret affecting my life? Is it making me sick? I don't want to be sick no more. Is it, you know, is it causing me not to be able to process things or causing me not to be able to function properly? Then let it go. When we choose to hold on to secrets, it says that our brains, our orbital prefrontal cortex simulates in your mind just how bad sharing a secret will be, imagining all the possible negative outcomes. So you play that over and over and over in your mind. And don't you know that when there's a certain chemical that's released with negative energy? So you're playing this over and over in your mind. If anybody ever find out this, oh, my gosh. So that the oh, my goshes are all the thoughts you're having of what the negative outcome could be, which is not healthy. So we got to get to a place of being healthy. We got to get to a place where we're asking ourselves, am I willing to hold on to this cancer any longer? It's also been, I think I brought this up before on one of the shows, is that scientists have come to the conclusion that they believe that cancer cells have been created through the chemicals that's released through bitterness and anger. And so if this be the case, it really is. The secret is a cancer because you're holding on to it. You're holding on to it so tight. And you're imagining all the negative things that could come with this should the truth come out. And so are you willing, are you ready to let it go? Are you really ready to let that thing go? Are you ready to move forward in life? And if you are, we're going to have a prayer tonight. We're going to have a prayer tonight so that for those who say, you know what, I don't want to hold on to this thing no more. I don't want to hide this no more. I want to let it go. I want to be free. We're going to have a prayer for you tonight and a prayer of deliverance so you could be set free from that thing and that you could begin to move forward in life. Amen. And what I would like to do is, if there is anyone, I'm going to take a moment, if there is anyone listening in on tonight and you have a question or a comment, maybe there was something that shared that really hit home for you, or maybe you have something that you want to share in reference to this subject matter, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will definitely bring you in. And I'm going to continue on with the show, but at any time during the show, if you have a question or a comment, please feel free to dial 1. All comments are welcome. We appreciate the comments. Like I said, there's people that's been through certain things, and you may have something to add to this dialogue. Or maybe you just have questions. Maybe you might just need prayer. Either way, whatever it is, we're here, and you don't have to reveal who you are. You don't have to announce your name. All people know is that you're a number, you're a caller on the phone, you're a number. They don't have to know anything else more about you if there's something that you need to share. Amen. So anyway, we're going to get back into the subject matter. And so, again, I want to go ahead and read a little bit more. This article is really good, and I'm trying not to read the whole article, but I want to read bits and pieces of it because I just think it's so dynamic when revelation shows us, when we get revelation about something, and not only the Word of God, which is the most important that could confirm these things, but then when you start seeing that there are scientists and, you know, all these other things that say, yes, there's a connection here. Yes, there's an issue here. And then we're able to confirm that there is some things that's taking place, especially as it pertains to our health and various things. So it went on to tell us that the prefrontal cortex is involved in decision-making, complex thoughts, and deception. Neurosurgeon Gopal Chopra, chief executive of PINGMD, which provides an app to facilitate communication between doctors and patients. It says if the two regions are at a cross purpose, the end result is what's called the complications of emotional burden. In other words, if your prefrontal cortex wins the battle within your brain over keeping a secret, the pressure it causes in the cingulate cortex leads your body to ramp up production of stress hormones. This is known as the fight or flight response, often triggered when we feel anxiety or fear. If the reaction persists, it can have potentially serious consequences. Every time you think about a deeply held secret, stress hormones such as cortisol can surge, impacting your memory, blood pressure, gastrointestinal tract, and metabolism. Those hormones also include, and I'm going to have a challenge with this word, but it's the norepinephrine. Chopra says, which affects part of the brain where attention and responses are controlled. The bigger the secret, or the riskier you perceive its protection, the more intense the conflict within your brain, resulting in higher anxiety and a more potent fight or flight effect. Now, if that's not enough, hearing this can make people say, you know what? They can have the secret. I don't know what is. I mean, that's just amazing to know that some of us are struggling with stress levels. And we think sometimes that it's day-to-day, and I'm not saying that there's not things day-to-day that create stress in us. But just to think that on top of just day-to-day living, you have some old stuff, somebody else's stuff that you're keeping secrets, somebody else's lies that you're holding on to, your own lies that you're holding on to, that is really causing havoc in your body. I wouldn't even be surprised when you look at the world today and over the last 20 years or so, you've seen a high increase in obesity. There's been a lot of mid-stomach. I can remember a time in my youth as a young adult, you could look everywhere across the TV and you didn't see people with stomach. The people you seen with stomach was 2%, maybe 3% of the people, the population, had stomachs, pudgy stomachs. Now, there's 3% of the population that don't have pudgy stomachs. So when you look around, you even see slim people, petite people that have bellies. And it's said that that stress, the chemical cortisol that's produced from stress, creates the belly fat, protruding bellies on top of eating habits and everything else. But it definitely produces that. And so when you look around, would you not say that maybe our world is a little bit more stressful than it was in our parents' days and in their parents' days? Are things a little bit, is there more anxiety in the earth? Why is that? Why do you think that is? That is more anxiety. There's more stress in the earth. The moral compass, so to say, if I could say that, the moral compass is changing. We see that in the earth. We see that, you know, what we used to do, prayer was important. I mean, it's still important for believers, but it was important as a whole. You know, you have prayer at school. You don't even have prayer anymore at school. You can't even talk about in some places. You can't even talk about the Bible. But yet, society is getting worse. It's spiraling. And yet, all these things, our moral compass, the things that gave us comfort, the things that gave us peace, are being done away with. So we are living in a society now that's more stressful, that's more anxiety, the cost of living, the competition. All of these things are factors that's keeping us at a high level of stress, a high level of anxiety. And if you don't know how to get to that place within yourself, if you don't know how to connect vertically and get to a place where you experience joy and your joy is full and your joy is it stays when everything else around you fall, if you don't find that place, then you will be grieved with stress. You will be grieved with anxiety. You will be grieved with all these things. And so tonight's subject, I know you say, oh, Coach D, you're getting away from tonight's subject, but I'm really not. Because when you find that joy and when you find that vertical connection, then guess what? Those lies no longer exist. You let go of those lies. You face the truth of them. You deal with what that thing is. And you deal with it, you process it, and you're done with it. You deal with it, you process it, and you're done with it. Whether it was a lie because of a choice that you made, or if it was a lie because of a choice that somebody else made, you still have to deal with it, process it, and be done with it so that you can move on. There may be some things that you have to do. There may be some decisions that you have to make as it pertains to that lie. There may be some choices you have to make. But be prepared to make the choices. Be willing to make the choices so that you could just be done with the lie. Amen? So I'm just going to go over what tonight was about. We were talking about tonight, and I'm just going to summarize for those who may just be tuning in. Tonight's subject matter was lying with the lies, and we've come to some determination that first and foremost, lies, secrets, whatever you want to call them, untruths, do play a very important part on our health. It's scientific. Neurosurgeons have already come to the conclusion that it is bad on our health, that it's making us sick. Second of all, we come to the conclusion that from a theologian standpoint, there's some controversy about if there's any acceptable or permissible or lies. We've read stories, we know of stories in the Bible where there was deception. Lies, however you want to put it, lies, deception, it wasn't the truth. You know, we talked about Abram not telling the truth about his wife Sarai. We talked about Rahab being deceived to protect, the gentleman. We talked about Ananias and Sapphira. They told a lie that cost them their lives. So we knew throughout the Bible that there were lies that produced good results, and we know that there were lies that didn't produce good results. And so the question there was, okay, was there really a good lie? Well, you know what? I don't know if it's a good lie or not. I don't know that, but I can say that in the Bible there are scriptures that speak against lying, that speaks against deception. That's the word of God. So you have to determine what's permissible and what's not permissible. You have to be true to your own convictions and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with you in those areas. One of the things that have been said oftentimes is that, how do you know when a lie becomes a sin? And one of the identifiers is that A lie becomes a sin when there's any tiny hint of selfishness. So if your lying is selfish, like Ananias and Sapphira, that's when it becomes a sin. That's when it's really not good. So that's what some say. And like I said, you'll have to figure that out for yourself. You'll have to do, you know, you'll have to pray, and you'll have to get into your word, and you'll have to do your research to find out what settles with your heart. As for myself, my thing is that if I could just keep telling the truth, and I think I'm gonna opt to just keep telling the truth. And yes, I'm not gonna sit up here and say that a situation may not happen in my life that's life threatening. Who knows what you'll tell at that point? I mean, I just don't know anybody that may not tell the truth if their family's life depended on it, you know, or if your life depend on it, you know, will we really tell the truth? Oftentimes I think about, and I often giggle, because we teach our kids not to lie. I mean, I was on my boys a lot with them growing up, is that I can't tolerate a lie. I need you to tell the truth. I need you to be honest with me. That I would always respond different to the truth than I would a lie. And with the truth, even if it's still not what you did is wrong, there's still going to be consequences, but the consequences would not be as severe with the truth. And so I've always taught them that. I always taught them that, to make sure that I could trust them, because they never know when they really are going to need me, and they're going to need me to believe in them. And the only way I could believe in them is that if they carried a reputation of being truthful with me. And so it's funny that you push that on your kid, but then somebody could call, you don't want to take the call, and you'll tell them, say I'm not here, say I'm in the shower. And I know people got to be laughing, because I'm laughing, because we do that. You know, I found myself doing that. I'm not here, or don't answer the phone, or whatever the case may be. We done that. Somebody knock on the door, they're trying to sell something. Tell them that your parents aren't at home. So in essence, we're sending contradicting messages, because we're constantly telling them, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. It's not good to lie. Always tell the truth, even when it hurts. But then we'll turn around and have them, in essence, be a co-conspirator to our lies. And so I had to really stay conscious of that I don't do that, that I don't send those kind of mixed messages to my children or my grandchildren. So that when I say don't lie, then I got to make sure that I'm showing myself not lying. I got to make sure that I'm staying truthful at all times, because I got to make sure that I'm being an example of the very thing that I'm teaching them, to make sure that they don't become, which is liars. So we just got to be careful of that, parents, because we're good for doing that. And I think all of us have done that. If you haven't done that, praise God. I'm glad you have not done that, and maybe you could share the secret of how did you stay honest? How did you not come up against that challenge? Because I'm sure all of us would love to read that book. But definitely we want to be a great example to our children and those around us, and just be truthful and be honest. Again, if there's anyone listening in and you have a question or a comment about tonight's show, I would love to hear your opinions, your thoughts on tonight's subject. Please dial 1 on your dial pad. That, again, will let our team know that you have a question or comment, and we will address that question or comment. We are going to move on in the show, but at any time, as I said before, if you have a question or comment, you can feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. Again, for those who are interested in this article and would like to get more information about this article, hit me up after the show. I'll be more than glad to send you the link so that you can read the article in full. I think it's worth it. It was very interesting, has some very interesting information. Definitely something you would want to keep in your library. Again, this is about health, and author was Gina Roberts Gray, and it's Next Avenue Contributor. That's the name of this the the book that this is coming out of. Now, I want to just go a little bit further. We're coming towards the end of our show. We don't have much more time, but I just want to give you a couple more things that you can make notes on as it pertains to tonight's subject matter. The question is, once we get rid of all of this stuff, if you choose to get rid of it or if you choose not to, should we stop keeping secrets is the question. Despite all the dangers, keeping secrets is part of human nature. It really is. And how can and it's not just it's part of human nature, but keeping secrets confirms one's loyalty. So if I came to you as my friend or my family and I said, I need to tell you a secret, I need you to keep it, what are you going to do? Most likely we'll say, okay, you know, I cross my heart. You remember that old saying when you were a child, I cross my heart and I hope to die, I won't tell your secret. Now that we know that what we know, maybe we may not to hear the secret. We may have to opt to say, you know what, I'm not really good with keeping secrets at this point in my life. Maybe you better not tell me. Or maybe you can keep the secret and you don't feel like it will have no effect on you. But it's definitely something to think about because despite the dangers, keeping secrets is part of the human nature. And so then it says, even when there is a risk involved in keeping a secret, we believe there is a greater risk in its disclosure. Psychiatrists out of Columbia, Ohio, simply, we decide that the disclosure of the secret will be more painful to us than keeping it hidden. So it stays a secret. Wow. When you think about it like that, would you? Maybe you don't want the secret. I'm getting to a point where I might not want anybody to tell me no secret because you don't know what the secret is until they tell you. But the secret could be such that it could be really a major thing. Do you want to be responsible for holding on to that kind of thing? Do you want to be responsible for risking your health holding on to somebody else's thing? And so these are the things you want to start asking yourself. You know now. When you didn't know, you did what you didn't know. But now you know. You shouldn't have called into the show tonight because now you know the consequences of keeping secrets. And now you have to ask yourself the question, do I want to suffer the consequences that of keeping these secrets? So these are the questions you will ask yourself. Do I want to suffer the consequences of keeping somebody else's secrets? For that matter, do I want to continue to suffer the consequences of keeping my own secret? Are these things I need to let out? And letting them out is not necessarily a public display of, guess what, everybody? I got this secret and this is what it is. But letting it out to yourself, confessing it, dealing with it, letting it go, that is no longer harbored in your heart. Unfortunately, there are some things that we do have to, there's others involved that we may have to share that with, and it may be painful for these other people. This secret that we have may be painful. It may hurt somebody. It may cause some other folks some discomfort. And the question there is, are you willing to discomfort others? Are you at the risk of getting free? That's a question you have to ask yourself. And I say that because there are some secrets that we hold, that we know. If we tell these secrets, the end result is that it could destroy relationships. It could destroy somebody else's life. And those are things that we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to release this secret knowing what this secret will do to others? Am I willing to tell this person this? Father, how do I go about being released? How do I go about being free without damaging those around me? We see it in books all the time. There are millions of books on the shelf. And we noticed it more now in the last probably 20, 30 years than we probably ever have before. People are writing about their secrets. People are telling their stories. they're revealing the lies. Because people want to be free. People want to be delivered. People don't want to be in pain no more. Especially not in pain from somebody else's choices and decisions. So people are writing about this stuff. We see talk shows every day that people are going on because they want to reveal it. And we look, and some of us look and we say, oh my gosh, how pitiful is that? I would never get on Dr. Phil and expose my life like that. I would never get on Oprah and tell all my business. I'm one of the ones that say that. Ooh, I wouldn't get up there and put myself out there like that. But guess what? These people are saying, you know what? I don't want to live with this pain no more. I want to be free. And not that you got to get on Oprah, and not that you got to get on Dr. Phil, and not that you got to get on social media and just tell all your business. But you need to find an outlet. You need to find a way to release those secrets, release those lies, be set free. Begin to live. Begin to breathe. Get your joy back. Most of us don't have joy because we've been holding on to some garbage for a long time. And as long as we got that garbage, we can't have joy. Because joy comes with a certain peace. Joy comes with being able to accept who you are and whose you are. You have to be, and everybody might work different. For me, my joy came when I had to get peace. I had to come to terms with some stuff. And I had to start liking Denise. I had to start accepting some things about Denise, that this is who Denise is. And I had to start being okay with that to get my joy back. Or to even be able to tap into my joy. I can't say get my joy back because I'm not even sure I ever had joy until now. So, Father, we thank you. And I thank you for each person listening in on tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you will minister to the depths of each person's heart. Father, that you will begin to reveal the lies, the secrets, the deceptions that have kept us stagnant, that has kept us without peace, that has kept us without having joy. Lord, that you will begin to reveal those things and that you will begin to show us how we could be loosed and set free from them, Father. Father God, I just pray that each person on tonight will come into a personal revelation knowledge of you. Father, that they will seek you. And Father, as they seek you, as they knock, the doors will be open. As they seek, they will find. As they ask, they will receive. And tonight, Father, I pray that they're asking for deliverance, to be set free, to be whole, to accept that thing, deal with it, and release it. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the knowledge that you brought through your spirit. We thank you for the articles that's been written in your word, Father God, your uncompromisable word. We thank you for that on tonight. Father God, we thank you that there is healing through your word. We thank you that there is healing through prayer. We thank you, Father God, that we can be set free. And, Father God, we know that your word tells us that he who the Son set free is free indeed. And, Father, we are free. We are free on tonight. We are free. We can move forward, Father. We could begin to process life's pain. And, Father, as we continue to pursue the purpose, as we continue to pursue the purpose, that we could begin to take partake in the promises. So we just say thank you, Father. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Father God, we thank you that you were there, that your word tells us that you would never leave us nor forsake us, but you are always there. There's nothing, no lie, no secret, no deception that could separate us from your love. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we thank you for joining us tonight on Processing the Pain. We have a couple of minutes, so if there is someone that have a question or a comment about tonight's show, please dial 1 on your dial pad. If not, if you're interested in getting more information about the article, let me know. I'll make sure that I get that information to you so that you can read it in its entirety. I tell you, it's a good read, very good read. And again, I thank you for joining us on tonight. I pray that you'll be able to join us weekly on Tuesdays with Woman to Woman at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Minister LaDon and myself. That's every Tuesday. We're bringing some great topics for women, concerning women, by women. And then again on Thursday nights, we have Processing the Pain with yours truly at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Thursday. We have some dynamic guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. And tell a friend, if you've heard anything on these shows that's blessed you over the years, and it's just been a blessing, the best thing that you could do is share. Share with your friends. Share with your family. Let them know to call in, to tap in, for these shows so that they too could be blessed. We appreciate your support. We thank you so much. And just know that you are loved and appreciated. Have a wonderful evening.
Yeah.